This is a podcast from RNIB's Insight Radio.
Now, many of you will be familiar with guide dogs, seeing them out and about with a blind or severely sight impaired owners. But have you heard of buddy dogs? Well, guide dogs are promoting the service, and we have with us to tell us a little bit more Carol Warner, who's head of canine services with guide dogs. Carol, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Alan. This week, we're celebrating the fact that we have 100 buddy dog partnerships across the UK, helping children and young people with sight loss. The buddy dog service matches specially selected dogs and places them with families or in family environments for the benefit of children and young people who are blind or partially sighted. Target audience for buddy dogs are children and young people who are blind, partially sighted, up to the age of 25, as long as they're under the direct care or supervision of a guardian or parent, and who would benefit from having a dog to increase their confidence. And sometimes it's a really good way of seeing if someone would be suitable for guide dog ownership in later years.
Are the dogs chosen specifically to be buddy dogs, or were they originally going to be guide dogs?
Yes, these are dogs that haven't achieved the guide dog status, but they're dogs that we recognise that probably won't be as effective as assistant dogs, but they have a lot to offer for children and young people in these environments. So we especially select them. They're not a mobility assistance dog, so they're not trained or recognised as an assistance dog. But what our strap line is developing confidence through companionship. And we see some really good results where we've had children that have contributing to their sensory and physical development, enhancing their confidence and self-esteem. Countering isolation, it's been a real sort of conversation starter, and children are really keen to talk to the child with a dog, and they want to know what their cool dog's all about. So it's a really good way of the child interacting with people outside of their family.
As you say, are dogs which perhaps aren't suitable to be guide dogs, but you know, perfect for a buddy dog. So does that mean they've gone through much of the same training as a guide dog, or is there any sort of slight differences to that?
All our dogs will be puppy walked, and it depends on when we select the puppies or select the dogs for prospective buddy dogs. They may have gone through their puppy walking phase, they may have had a small amount of training in the early stages, or they may be dogs that have been guide dogs and then have been withdrawn for various reasons. So they have a variable guide dog type training, but what we're looking for is a dog that is very, very good socially, is great around children, is quite adaptable in different environments, and that will bond with the child.
Could you give us an example then of a successful partnership?
At the moment we have 100 partnerships across the UK, and this includes 15 dogs that have been placed within a school or an organisation, and the remaining dogs are with family environment. To give you some examples, we have a young man who unfortunately has spent a lot of time in a wheelchair, and since the introduction of his dog Kirsty, he's been encouraged to get up and about and starting to do much more walking, which has helped to build his strength up in his legs. He just has a motivation to get up and be more mobile, and this is through the introduction of his dog. We have a really nice example of a dog called Albert. It's in one of our school environments, and the vast amount of children have obviously access to Albert, who probably wouldn't have access to a dog at home, and they love the responsibility of being able to feed and groom and spend time playing with Albert. He's also been used as a reading dog, so a lot of the children will actually read to Albert. And he also has a settling effect on the children as well. He's used very much as a reward when the children have achieved something or have been very well behaved. Sometimes their reward is they get to feed Albert or they get to groom Albert. So he's very much part and parcel of that school environment.
He must be a very well-educated dog, all these children, don't
you? I think he is, yes.
How do you monitor and evaluate the partnerships?
What we do is we put a lot of investment in the early stages. So this is training or educating or providing people with the right level of support. And these are the carers. So the people that are actually the buddy dog carer will be a guardian, a parent, or it may be in a school environment, a teacher or a care assistant. And that the dog is actually belongs to, is a responsibility of that person. The responsibility isn't with the child. So we put a lot of time in and making sure those people are very comfortable with how to care for the dog, how to handle the dog, getting the dog introduced into the environment. And then ongoing support around healthcare, behavioural support. And the dog would be visited by one of our mobility team staff in a similar way that our working guide dogs are. So we'll be monitoring the partnership as it progresses.
Just finally, Carol, we are going to be speaking with Sarah a little bit later on the show, whose son Oliver has a buddy dog. Lucy's a fantastic story. But in the meantime, if people would like any more information on the service, how can they go about getting the details?
There's details on our website, which is www.guidedogs.org.uk, or contact the local mobility team. And again, the mobility team contacts are on our website.
Carol Warner, thank you for speaking with us on Insight Radio.
Thank you very much, Alan.
Radio for the blind and partially sighted community across the UK. RNIB's Insight Radio.
Now, today we're looking at buddy dogs. Many of you will be familiar with guide dogs out and about guiding blind and severely sight impaired people. But did you know the charity also has a buddy dogs programme? Well, coming up a little bit later, we'll be speaking to one mum whose son, Oliver, has benefited from a buddy dog called Lucy. For now, though, it's time to find out a bit more about the project and the dogs themselves. We have with us from Guide Dogs, Susan Ramsey. Hello, Susan.
Hi.
So let's find out a little bit about buddy dogs then. How does the project work?
The project, we have two types of buddy dog partnerships. We have one which is placed with young people within a family environment. This dog is carefully matched and placed with a family under a buddy dog ownership agreement. The family of the child who is blind or partially sighted are given plenty of support and help, and we encourage them to take on responsibility for the dog, and obviously that includes all the daily feeding and grooming, exercising and making sure the dog maintains its obedience that it's already got. The second type of our buddy dog partnership is the ones that are placed with either in a school or with an organisation. This type of partnership tends to benefit a larger number of children who are blind and partially sighted, enable those children as well that maybe don't have an opportunity to have contact with dogs, to have a bit more contact. The buddy dog in this situation is placed with a professional. It's usually a teacher or a carer within that organisation. And again, it's under an agreement with the guide dog. The guide dog, in this circumstances, we retain ownership of the dog and maintain contact with them, and we'll give them financial support as well as ongoing practical support from technical staff. Buddy dog carers may wish to obviously contribute towards the cost of the dog and its feeding costs and things like that. So there's two main types.
With the dog going to the young children then, Susan, is this perhaps kids who may in the future look to become guide dog owners, so they're almost getting a bit of a feel for what it's like to look after their four-legged friend?
Yes, exactly. A lot of that is we do hope that a number of our buddy dog young recipients will continue on and take on a full working guide dog. An opportunity for them to obviously get used to having a dog in their home environment, to make contact with the organisation, and for us hopefully develop them into a guide dog owner in the future.
So how do you select a dog to become a buddy?
Obviously the dogs that are used now are ones that are not suitable to progress through our guide dog training programme, but they obviously have a lot of good qualities that we can actually transfer over to being a buddy dog. So it's quite important that the dogs are assessed for this role. And this is done by guide dog staff, and we have a clearly defined process for this. We have worked with other staff to look at what qualities we need from these dogs. So it looks at each dog individually and assesses them for how the previous experience the dog's had, the dog's individual criteria, how its health is, its training, what its behaviour like, what its temperament like. Has it been brought up with children? Is it easy to handle? Does it have any problems interacting in a social situation? Obviously, this assessment means that we can move the dogs forward and make full use of our dog. Again, each dog's an individual, so not all dogs will be suitable for moving on a buddy dog. And we need to take into, obviously, consideration the impact that dog may have within the family. So it's a very careful selection process for the dog as well.
So although these dogs won't go on to become guide dogs, the selection, the type of dog, its temperament, still has quite a bearing on, you know, what kind of family or situation it's going to be placed in.
Exactly, yes. We obviously want to make sure that the dog's comfortable in its new working environment, that it's the right dog for that particular household, and so far as size and breed and things like that. It's got the right personality, because each dog has its own personalities, and that's really important for the recipient as well, depending on the age and the needs of the child in question.
Now, we are going to be speaking a bit later with Sarah, whose son Oliver has a buddy dog called Lucy. But how do you actually match then a buddy dog to, if we take, say, a family as an example?
Obviously, we know the dog, and we make sure that the dog is a suitable candidate for the buddy dog. And then having had in-depth chats with the family and met the family and done a number of assessments within the family, we know the type of dog that they're happy to have around, depending on their circumstances as well and the child's ability. If we've got a child that maybe likes to be very tactile with the dog, then the dog has to be comfortable with that happening. Obviously, again, for the dog going out with the child, it has to be good and steady on the lead. So it's a case of matching up the dog's qualities with the requirements of the recipient and the personality as well. Obviously, this dog's going in the house and hopefully is going to bring a lot of fun and enjoyment for the child as well.
What's it like seeing a partnership in action?
That's really nice. Obviously, each partnership is different and it brings its own qualities. So it's always nice to see a young person growing in confidence and learning new skills. And it's nice to see them developing and improving their social skills as well. It's one of the things that you really see happening with them. The placement of the dog can also really enrich the whole family because you tend to find that the family starts doing things as a family when maybe before they weren't able to think about doing it. It is a really nice feeling. It's very rewarding to think you've just played a small part in what can be a huge change to a young person and a family's lifestyle. And it just gives you a really nice sense of, sort of pride in working for the organisation and seeing what these wonderful dogs can do for people.
Now, as I said earlier, we will be speaking to Sarah, whose son Oliver has a buddy dog called Lucy. It's a fantastic story. You won't want to miss it. But in the meantime, Susan, if anyone would like more information about the Buddy Dogs programme, how do they get in touch?
You'll get information about the Buddy Dog service by visiting our website, which is www.guidedogs.org.uk, or via the local mobility team in your area. Again, the details can be found within the website.
Susan Ramsay, thank you for speaking with us on Insight Radio.
Thank you very much indeed.
Radio for the blind and partially sighted community across the UK. RNIB's Insight Radio.
Now we have with us Sarah, whose son Oliver has a buddy dog called Lucy. Sarah, thank you very much for joining us.
It's an absolute pleasure.
Perhaps you could tell us, first of all, a little bit about Oliver.
He's 7 years old now, and he had a brain injury at birth which left him with a severe visual impairment. We're not sure how much he can see, but it's pretty much nothing in his right eye and about a quarter of the normal vision in his left eye, and that's on a good day. But the brain injury left him with cerebral palsy, epilepsy, and he's got a diagnosis of autism, which is probably related to that as well. So he's got quite complex difficulties. And the visual impairment and the cerebral palsy mean that it's really difficult for him to walk pretty much in a straight line because he's got very poor balance and he can't really see where he's going. He trips over things quite often. And then because of his poor balance, he might then trip a little bit more. Can mean that the outside world is really quite scary for him. And he really struggled for a long time when he was going out, just with his confidence and people approaching him and him getting quite anxious. So yeah, he's had quite a lot of challenges over the last few years.
That must have quite a profound effect on the family in general.
Yeah, huge. I've recently given up work to provide the care that he needs. Yeah, it changed our whole expectation of what a family environment would be. And I think when we're at home, we're in our own little bubble and everything's okay and manageable. And then when we go outside, things become quite difficult for all of us, so quite difficult for us. And it's not just access to places, but it's people's understanding as well of what Oliver's challenges mean, and particularly with his autism. His behaviour can be a bit unpredictable. He's always delightful and happy most of the time. Any seven-year-old who have mixed emotions, but yeah, it's quite challenging for him.
Now you have a buddy dog, Lucy. How did you hear about the service?
Well, it was a bit of a mad idea. Oliver doesn't like dogs, or he didn't. When he was five, I had seen a programme on TV about assistance dogs and dogs for the disabled, and I started to think, oh, maybe that would be a good idea for Oliver. Maybe it could help him access the outdoor world. We're always looking for ways in which we can help him be more independent from us. When he was a baby and relied on us, and as a toddler he relied on us, that wasn't as difficult, but now there'll be a greater psychological impact on him to need us all the time for not just feeding him and helping him get dressed, because he can put up with that, he doesn't mind that, but when we're out and about, the more he can be independent from us, the better, or at least feel it. So I'd seen this programme about assistance dogs, and I thought, oh, that would be a brilliant idea. Discussed it with my husband, and he said, there's only one tiny problem, that Oliver doesn't like dogs. I think it's because of his visual impairment. Even friendly dogs, neighbours had quite small dogs, who put his hands over his face and say, it won't lick me, Mummy, it won't jump up, will it? And he got quite agitated with it. So I thought, well, it's probably not a great idea, but I just had a gut feeling. I thought, we'll explore it anyway. So I rang round a few of the dogs charities, and all of them pointed me in the direction of guide dogs, buddy dogs, because of Oliver's age, and obviously because one of his primary disabilities is his visual impairment. So rang guide dogs, and they said, yeah, we've got this brilliant buddy dog scheme. It sounds like Oliver will be a candidate. We'll put you on the database, but you could be on there for quite a long time, months to years, before we can match you up with the right dog. So we expected to be on there for a couple of years, and it was a few months later we got a call from two people at Guide Dogs saying, come round and have a chat with you. I said, yeah, come round one evening after school. And when they arrived, they brought Lucy with them. Just really, not necessarily to match her up with Oliver, but just to see how he reacted to a dog. So they came to the front door. It was a total surprise that they had Lucy with them. They came to the front door and I said, oh, can you just stay there for a second? I better go and tell Oliver there's going to be a dog in the house. And I went through and I said to him, you stay on the chair. We'll let the dog come towards you. You don't need to worry about it at all. And if you don't like it, the dog can stay out in the hallway. It's fine. And so he waited on the chair and Lucy came towards him. And he got down off his chair and he threw his arms around her and gave her a huge hug. I said, I love you, Lucy. And that was it. That was their friendship just started. And that was particularly amazing because he'd never told us that he loved us. He'd never told us whether he liked anything at all, never mind a person or accessing his emotions. He wouldn't even tell us if he liked the orange juice. Yeah, he really struggled to express himself emotionally. So it was phenomenal, really. And that was just, he's told her that pretty much every day for the last, he got her one when he was five, and he's seven now, so we've had it for just over a year and a half, and it's just lovely, their relationship. First thing in the morning, she sleeps downstairs to get a bit of rest now. She used to sleep in his bedroom, but I think she realised that would be 24/7 job. And when he comes downstairs in the morning, they're just all over each other. It's just lovely.
What was it like, actually, in that first reaction? What was it like sitting watching that?
Amazing, because we just felt as parents that we knew Oliver, but we didn't, there was this inner Oliver, if that makes sense, and we didn't know how to access it, but we knew it was there. And we knew by his actions and his humour that he loved us, but he didn't need to say it for us to know that he loved us. We've got such a close relationship. But when we heard him say it, we thought, oh my goodness, we've got a pathway to get to this inner Oliver. And that, I suppose that's what Lucy is. She's our key into his world. And whether that's just because that's Oliver or whether it's because of the autism, we don't know yet. I suspect it's probably the autism. She's definitely a way in for us, and it's a way out for him. He didn't used to tell us if he was hungry or needed the toilet or anything like that. Quite basic. And she now is his way to tell us. This is when we first got her. He would say, oh, do you think Lucy needs a little snack now? Or do you think Lucy might like to go out now? Or do you think she needs a toilet now? Things like that. And say, well, that's a brilliant idea, Oliver. Let's just see if she wants to go out into the garden. And then while she's doing that, we'll just see if you need to use the toilet. So it was fantastic. That's continued. Just his language changed almost overnight, the way he would describe things. Before she came, he would say things like, that's a table in front of me, or there's the television over there. So quite basic language, very factual. The first day that Lucy arrived, we asked him, just to see how much of her he could see, we said, can you describe Lucy? And he said, oh, she's my beautiful black buddy dog with soft, velvety ears. I thought, wow, there's all that been inside him, and she was his way of getting it out.
Amazing. What about going out? Because you did say that going outside was a difficult thing for him.
Yeah, really difficult. Totally different now. We'd take Lucy pretty much everywhere. Obviously, working as a buddy dog, she doesn't necessarily have the same legal rights as entry as a guide dog would, but we've never, ever been refused entry. We always check with people before we go in, and she's never once been refused, which is fantastic. Everybody's been very, very, very welcoming. As long as she's with him, we can pretty much go anywhere. He really struggled with supermarkets before, and I think it was the noise of the tannoy, the bright lights, the constant hustle and bustle. Well, he thinks it's hilarious when she goes in now, because obviously she listens to him, and so if he wants her to turn left, I'll turn left, and they've got a fantastic partnership. But most importantly, when he has a really difficult time somewhere, like if we went to a big sale, like a toy sale or something like that, or a car boot sale, something big and bustly, if he has a meltdown, he just asks for Lucy. We go somewhere quiet and they hold each other and hug each other. She hasn't been trained to do that. It's just obviously her nature and her influence. She just calms him down. So where before the rest of the day would have been a write-off, he might have really struggled for 6 hours or so. Now it's literally just minutes. They'll stay together for maybe 10 minutes, just cuddling, and Oliver will go from screaming and being really distressed, beyond distressed, like a kind of distress that's so horrible for a parent to witness because you don't know how to make it better. He will go from that, hugging Lucy, to laughing, and she's licking him all over his face, and they're just lovely, lovely together. They just seem to understand each other.
It's absolutely astonishing, the difference.
Yeah, it's changed things hugely for us. And obviously, we've changed what we do as a family as well when we go out, because we're trying to encourage Oliver to understand that Lucy has needs, not just being fed and watered, but that she needs to go out for at least 2 big walks a day. And so we tend to do that as a family now, which is great for him because he gets his exercise and his practice. Because walking's really hard for him, really tough. If we can, we'll get down onto the beach. They practice together and he throws balls for her, and she's so, so gentle with him. Like if I was throwing a ball for her, she'd be madly trying to get hold of it, you know, as part of the game. But with him, she just waits, she gives the ball to him, and she's quite a big dog. She's very tall, but she's like a gentle giant with him.
It's a fantastic story. In just a short space of time, the difference is just astonishing.
Yeah, the strange thing was it was just straight away. It's like they were waiting to meet. And she's been great for all of us, actually. I'm pretty in love with her as well.
Sarah, we would like to wish you and Oliver and Lucy all the very best. Thank you for telling us the story on Insight Radio.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from RNIB's Insight Radio. For more podcasts, check out insightradio.co.uk.